clarinetist Oliver Pashley wants to sing the praises of the Concerto for Clarinet by Aaron Copland, commissioned by Benny Goodman, especially because he tells us in the journal interlude that the clarinet repertoire is small, and this makes the fresh breath of air that is Copland's clarinet concerto seem all the more welcome, as well as being a valuable tool in our repertoire. It also offers a unique whirlwind tour of Copland's musical voices. In many people's eyes, Aaron Copland was, and still is, the quintessential American composer. His name is synonymous with the music of the open prairie, of balmy summer evenings, the pioneer spirit, boldly going where no composer had gone before. Luckily for us clarinetists, there's a piece that nestles in our repertoire that is not only one that explores Copland's open, expansive sound world, but that isn't afraid to get gritty. Of course, before we get down and dirty, we sample that classic American sound in the opening bars. A gently rocking 3-4 rhythm cradles some classic Copelandian chords. The way that Copland achieves this sense of space is by doing just that, spacing the notes of the chords over huge intervals. But that's not all there is to it. Yes, Copland can create landscapes like no other, but he's not afraid to venture away from this. At the end of this heartfelt opening section, the clarinet gradually winds up to a cadenza, evoking the jazz style pioneered by its dedicatee and premier performer, clarinetist Benny Goodman. At the end of this frantic set to of syncopation comes a moment of mystery, where, for the first time in the piece, we really don't know where the harmony is going. While the clarinetist rests, the orchestra of strings, piano, and harp gradually wrap up the tension to a cascade of scales that then bursts into D-flat major. This section of the piece flits between bouncy, chirpy D-flat and episodes of intense, clustered chords, more reminiscent of the modernist world Copland left behind in Paris after his years there studying with superstar Nadia Boulanger. The music flips between elation and aggression and culminates with an extended section of syncopated chords that are incredibly dense. Nothing could be further from the serenity of these opening bars. These moods are then fused together in the coda, a frenetic C major with electrical static fizzing out at every change of direction. At just over 15 minutes or so, you get a lot of bang for your buck. And while Copland manages to cram a lot into this short space of time, there is always that feeling of space, that your eye can absorb and delight in the whole landscape before fireworks in the distance snatch your attention away. Of course, he was not the only composer to weld his own voice to popular idioms of the day, Leonard Bernstein being the obvious example. But with Copland, you find poise within the foxtrot, individual voices within the crowd. Copland's music is famous for its balance between order and chaos, and the clarinet concerto is no different. That from clarinetist Oliver Pashley. It will be delightful to experience the journey Pascal Archer takes us on with the Northeastern Pennsylvania Philharmonic under Mélisse Brunet this Saturday, when the principal clarinetist brings the concerto alive at the Kirby Center for the Creative Arts on the Wyoming Seminary campus in Kingston, part of the next Masterworks concert. Chasen Goldschmitz, the newly appointed executive director of the Philharmonic, following the 10-year tenure of Nancy Sanderson, paid a visit to the WVIA Benko studio to talk with us about the welcome he's been receiving from the community and the concert to come.
It's such a wonderful community here, and despite the depths of the winter, everyone is so dedicated. We had so many people come to our January and February chamber concerts, despite cold winter weather and darkness, and they still came to join us at St. Luke's in Scranton and First Presbyterian over in Wilkes-Barre for our January and February chamber concerts. And so we were so thrilled to have people there, and we're really excited for what we have in store for the spring concerts, for sure.
And the chamber music concerts are wonderful for many reasons. They give us all a chance to hear high-level performances of chamber music, which is a chance to be intimately involved with the music, but also we get to meet members of the orchestra in a more intimate way.
Absolutely. And with each of our chamber concerts, you know, they're relatively short. They're about an hour each, no intermission, and then afterwards we just usually go right over to the next room for a nice little reception and meet and greet with the musician. So it's a much more casual type of environment, and it's a really great way to get to know our fantastic Philharmonic musicians as part of those events, and to hear them in that kind of much more intimate setting.
One of the principal orchestra members will be featured in this upcoming Masterworks concert.
Oh, yes. We have Pascal Archer, our principal clarinetist, very beloved here in the community, and he will be soloing with us on the Copland Clarinet Concerto. Very, very exciting pieces. You know, it's a two-movement piece, very energetic, very jazzy, and it really shows off the clarinet. It's difficult. It's absolutely difficult, and we're really excited to have Pascal joining us for that in a soloist capacity. And he was also certainly featured on the January Chamber Concert, which was a wind quintet group over in Scranton.
We understand that the clarinet concerto came about through a commission by Benny Goodman. Is that how it happened?
Yes. So that was the initial impetus for the concerto, specifically to create a clarinet concerto that would have these jazzy elements and, you know, all of these different roots. And Copland was bringing in a lot of Latin American sounds and rhythms into this, and he was particularly coming off of his trips to Brazil, and so it was a really, really valuable kind of intersection of musical talents there, and it's just a really bouncy piece is the best way I would describe it.
When you say it's a two-movement work, there's a middle section where the...
There is, yeah, so that's the... So in between the two movements, because we go right from one movement to the other, but sandwiched in between them is an opportunity for a clarinet solo cadenza that's just really explorative and just really blossoms in a way. And so it shows off all facets of the clarinet in terms of style and speed and sound and register. And so you go from the first much slower movement, the slowly and expressively, and into the second movement, the rather fast, as it's sort of affectionately named by Copland. And then you have the really sort of fluid cadenza in between.
And if people think today of Wynton Marsalis, who can play the Haydn and the Hummel trumpet concertos seriously and yet be a jazz musician, Benny Goodman did serious playing of Mozart and things.
Oh, absolutely, yes. And so, and you see so much of that throughout the 20th century and today, where you have just absolutely fabulous and extraordinarily talented musicians who don't stay on sort of one lane or another in terms of this is jazz or this is classical, but there's so much overlap. And Pascal in particular certainly is someone who's really very much well acquainted with those styles. And, you know, several years ago the Philharmonic had a fabulous Gershwin performance of Rhapsody in Blue, which starts with that absolutely fantastic and very well known clarinet solo. You know, and Pascal just, I've heard him play clips of it, even though I wasn't here at the time that it was performed, but it was certainly something that clarinetists clarinetists love. And the clarinet in particular is a really great instrument for being flexible in that way, in terms of going between genres and sort of being very, very delicate and gentle and very sort of fast and precise, and as well as being, you know, very sort of evocative of jazzy sounds and sliding in from one tonality into another.
And while we're speaking of various styles and genres and being able to embrace many, that would speak to a work that people may not know, and maybe even a composer people may not know.
Absolutely. And so that would be Gabriella Lena Frank, who's another composer on the program. We have a number of different composers on this program, which is primarily a string orchestra program, but we do, of course, have Pascal Archer on clarinet for the Copland, and we have our principal harpist, Andre, who's joining us as well, and percussion through the program, too. And for the Gabriella Lena Frank piece, which is a piece for strings, this is one where she has quite a wide-ranging background herself in terms of her family, as well as with her musical lineage and her experience. So this particular piece that will be on the program, Les Indes, which is an Andean walkabout for strings. And so that gives you just a little bit of a sense in terms of, oh, this is going to be a little bit of an exploration of different types of sounds and styles. And so Leyendas is legends, and so this is very much focused around legends of Peru and, you know, indigenous Latin American sonorities, as well as stories told through the strings. And, you know, you have the strings in this piece working to be very evocative of different types of Latin American instruments, such as the Peruvian pan flute and other things, and having sonorities that are very, very much reflective of Peru and other areas.
When we're hearing a piece for the first time, it's wonderful to be able to hear it live.
Oh, yes. And so, and that's the really great thing about a live performance. And we're, you know, it's always wonderful to hear such fabulous classical music here on WVIA. And I know I do in terms of, you know, in terms of middle of the day classical on my car radio. But certainly the opportunity to hear music live, in our case, an orchestra, a philharmonic orchestra. There's something really special about that kind of an opportunity. And there's physiologically something very special about that too, in terms of our brain waves, our breathing, our heart rates align with each other in the audience and align with musicians on stage during a live performance, as it does with, you know, among the musicians themselves. And so it's really being in a live performance has that really collectivist type of experience. And that's not specific to classical music. That's why people who, you know, might attend their favorite band at the FM Kirby or might go to a Taylor Swift concert, it's that sort of collective experience that just dials up the music. And that's what we hope to bring to the community in terms of each of our concerts.
And what you've just said, Chasen, isn't restricted to 20th and 21st century music. We know there were wonderful composers making music that would do just that, and you have some of that on the program.
We do. So on the program, we go all the way back to English composer Henry Purcell, so back in the 1600s with his Abdelazer Suite, which is based on incidental music written for a play at the time. The most famous component of the Abdelazer Suite is the second of the nine movements, and the rondo, which was then taken, if we're sort of connecting from the 17th century all the way to the 20th and 21st century, Benjamin Britten, 20th century composer, took the rondo from the Abdelazer Suite and turned that into the theme, basing the entire Young People's Guide to the Orchestra around that. So it's definitely something that many audience members might know and not know that they know. But the whole suite is, you know, is a really great exploration of different types of string textures. And you see so much in terms of the connection. That's a lot of what this concert is about, is seeing connections with with different types of string writing that extend all the way from Purcell to Gabriel Lina Frank and Jean-Luc Pebolo, where you have from the 17th century all the way to the 21st century, so many parallels in terms of the textures, and you'll see that throughout the program. And of course, we have the very well-known Tchaikovsky Serenade for strings that's going to be rounding out the program. It's just a gorgeous work. I love playing it as a kid, and I know the orchestra musicians really love that particular piece as well. It's such a passionate, emotional type of piece, as is much of Tchaikovsky's work. And so that's something that I know the musicians are quite looking forward to, as am I. And then we have one other piece on the program I alluded to, Jean-Luc Pebolo, who's, you know, another contemporary composer like Gabriela Lina Frank. The piece is called Zoom, which is for strings and percussion. And yes, this was written in the wake of the pandemic and commissioned by the United States Air Force Band. So it's very much about sort of traveling quickly, but being together while being apart. So there's a lot of sort of very energetic rhythmic components to it between the strings and the percussion that just sort of really try to bring into music the experiences and emotions that all of us, you know, we're feeling several years ago. So it's a really great, really fantastic and wide-ranging and very exciting and accessible program. And, you know, despite the range of time frames, all of the music is very exciting and very accessible to audiences. And we certainly hope that they'll be joining us on Saturday, March 15th at 7:30 p.m. at Wyoming Seminary Upper School, the Kirby Center for the Arts, which is over in Kingston.
Have you been able to experience the orchestra playing in that hall?
I've seen the hall. This will be my first time hearing the orchestra performing in the hall. I know for a fact that our orchestra members always enjoy that particular hall. The acoustics are fabulous. So definitely, if you're someone who really appreciates a very, very good sounding acoustical space, this is definitely the concert for you. And if you or other family members are into, say, Bridgerton or other shows like that, this kind of string music ranging all the way from Purcell to Pebolo certainly is something that would be up your alley. So the concert is Saturday, March 15th at 7:30 p.m. at Wyoming Seminary Upper School in Kingston, the Kirby Center for the Arts. This is a spring strings program. We have works by Purcell, Tchaikovsky, Copland, Pebolo, and Gabriela Lina Frank. And we hope that you will join us with the Northeastern Pennsylvania Philharmonic, your orchestra here in Northeastern Pennsylvania. Tickets, you can call the box office, 570-270-4444, or visit us at nepaphil.org.
We'll certainly see you again soon, Chasen, and we know that so many of our listeners are looking forward to Tina Turner. Have you sold out yet?
Tickets are still available for all of our spring concerts, and we have Carmina Burana coming up. Oh, Fortuna. Very, very exciting. That's going to be at the FM Kirby on April 25th. Get your tickets now. It will be with the Marywood University Concert Choir. We're very excited to be bringing them back. It's going to be an extraordinarily powerful program. You definitely know it. Even if you don't know, you know it. It's certainly very, very popular in terms of pop culture and films and television and advertisements. So this is something where you'll definitely want to hear it live. And yes, Tina Turner at Mohegan, Pennsylvania Casino on June 7th. Also at 7:30, all three concerts are at 7:30 p.m. So definitely come to our website, nepaphil.org, for tickets, or our box office at 570-270-4444.
Chasen Goldschmitz, the executive director of the Northeastern Pennsylvania Philharmonic, speaking with us about the upcoming concert on Saturday, this Saturday, March 15th at 7:30 p.m., at the Kirby Center for the Creative Arts on the campus of Wyoming Seminary Upper School in Kingston, just across the river from Wilkes-Barre. We heard the array of pieces, including this exquisite serenade for strings by Tchaikovsky. Mélisse Brunet, music director and conductor, will lead a wonderful Masterworks program this Saturday, March 15th at 7:30, and it's the Kirby Center for the Creative Arts across the river from Wilkes-Barre on the campus of Wyoming Seminary Upper School in Kingston, a wonderful hall for acoustics and very comfortable and a lovely setting for a program like this one. For more information on the web, nepaphil.org, nepaphil.org.